Okay. If you can kneel, we're going to pray again. For those that may just be, well, yeah, there's some people that are joining us now for the sermon. So please, let's gather in prayer. By your hearts, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you again so very, very much for the changing of the showbread. Thank you for continuing to do so as we gather now and go into your word in regards to all that's happening right before our very eyes. Thank you for giving us the courage to stand firm, to discern, the proper discernment to understand whether to go left or right or up or down. And thank you, Father, for blessing us with eyes that see, even if it comes to the point where, like Elijah's understudy, to see the angels. Because there's many attacks now, Father, as you know, even from within. And as prophesied, it looks like the church was going to fall, but it doesn't. It doesn't. It won't. Because the obedient will stand firm. And that's all that matters. And so thank you for giving us a heart that's after your heart. Deep calleth unto deep. And so thank you, Father, for blessing us, forgiving us, and cleansing us. And when that latter rain falls, blessing us abundantly so that we can go forward. And thank you for the work you have given us, the new project. Thank you so much for that and giving us the means to actually do it. And forgive us, Father, if we have any strange thoughts in our minds or hearts against those that come against us. We only want to show love and to warn them in time before it's too late. Forgive them, for they know not what they do, and forgive us when we mess up trying to help them. Thank you, Father, for all these things and for blessing us with that latter rain when that day comes. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, for all of eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. I was thinking that this was going to be just a one-part sermon, but once I started doing the notes, I thought, I don't think I'm going to get through this in one day. So this is probably going to be a part one. It's definitely going to be part one now that I think about it, because Sunday laws are definitely coming soon now. All right, and even the satire sites are starting to, you know, push stuff out there to make us look bad, you know, because I fell for it this week. Came across an article that said Trump was going to make the United States of America an official Christian nation. And I made an audio for it. I edited the audio. It took hours because it was a long video, and I actually got it down to 8 minutes or something like that, or 7 minutes. And then as I was starting to edit the video and I got time to put the first article up, I noticed something I didn't see before. It was a satire site that put up the article. And then I looked for a couple hours to try to find, is there any other website out there that has this statement about Trump making this an official Christian nation? Now, there is stuff that he was talking about in 2019 about, you know, making sure that there's laws passed that will make this nation into an official Christian nation. But it was so vague. That article was on a satire site. Check it out again, brother. Just check it out again. Look at what they say underneath their main logo or something like that. Something about a satire site for those that want confirmation. I can't remember. The word confirmation. I missed it. You missed it. No big deal. No, it wasn't Babylon Bee. You know, I know of a lot of satire sites that are out there. This was a new. This one I never saw before, ever, brand new. And so, I just deleted everything. I just, you know, and so that's why I didn't have a blog entry this week or a video. You know, I was getting ready to have this whopper video go out there, but still, we've got plenty of evidence. I mean, if you noticed, the Pope's most recent invite unto all, amen. The Pope's most recent invite onto all the leaders of the world to a gathering that he said he wanted, a gathering on May 14th, 2020, you know, which the pandemic obviously postponed to, now they're saying October 15th. He stated the following in what's called his encyclical or Laudato Si. It says, I invited everyone to cooperate in caring for our common home, and to confront together the challenges that we face. Now, a few years later, I renew my invitation to dialogue on how we are shaping the future of our planet and the need to employ the talents of all, since all change requires an educational process aimed at developing a new universal solidarity and a more welcoming society. Did you hear anything about Jesus there, by the way? I didn't. His Laudato Si is all about, well, it's like we've been saying for decades. You know, he's going to use climate change to enforce the mark, so he's going to start puffing up the planet as if it's something worth worshiping because he's a pagan. Well, actually, he's a devil worshiper, dyed-in-the-wool devil worshiper, all popes are, and we just proved that recently. But because we're so close to the end, they don't hide this stuff anymore. It shocks me the Catholics can't see this, but at the same time, the strong delusion has gotten them to look the other way as well. And so how does he plan to do all this, though? Well, if you've ever seen my page on the site exposing how governments are indoctrinating the children, that's link number one. And for those of you that want all these notes, all these verses, and all these links, if you look in the on the stream there, or if you look underneath the chat room, it's in there too. But I've got everything linked out. Everything for you linked out. Number 14 was that article. So I deleted that. You know, that article, that satire article. 14. Yeah. See, I didn't really need it. Yeah, I just threw it in there because I was already working on this sermon last Sabbath, so I didn't really even need Article 14. I just thought, oh yeah, it's another little, you know, thing that I can use. But it turns out it wasn't. And so, but that's link number one. You know, the homeschool spurs page on my website. I've got 1,700 in just one area of articles proving that they're brainwashing the kids. Everything from, you know, promoting homosexuality to denying God even exists and then pushing evolution. And then under that, there's a few hundred more articles because I used to do it like a blog. Every week, 2-3 times a week, there was something coming about the schools. And so they're doing this to push the kids towards a new way of thinking that is conducive to everything prophecy says the Pope needs them to believe so as to better control them in the coming days, especially when it comes to educating them to believe in global warming. That's link number two, by the way. Even though tens of thousands of scientists have confirmed what the Pope is teaching is simply not found anywhere in nature. That's link number three. And by the way, the government did that HTTPS thing a few years ago, and so if you don't have HTTPS at the start end of your, like if you don't have security on your website, even if you don't sell anything or have credit card stuff on your website like I don't, I still have to put the S, I have to put the security on, otherwise somebody goes to my website, it's going to go, warning, warning, this is not a trustworthy site, because it doesn't have the little, the fake security. Well, it is, it's real security, but it's fake in how they push it, because what about the people that don't have anything for sale on their websites? Why do we have to have it? Well, it's to prevent people from thinking we might cause them a problem if they go to our website, and so I put it up. Well, these scientists never put that up. And so when you go to that link, number three, it might say, warning, warning, don't worry about it. It's a safe site. I go to it quite often. Never got a virus. So anyway, everything, you know, the global warming thing and all this climate change stuff, well, the climate change is prophesied, but not the way the Pope says it. So it's all a lie. And as expected, they all believe it. Why? Well, do you recall what happened in 2015? I mean, if you jump back to 2004, homosexual marriage started in one U.S. state. But by the time June 26th came around in 2015, it was legal in all 50 states thanks to Muslim President Barack Hussein Obama. And yes, he's a Muslim, and I prove it with literally hundreds of links, even pictures of him wearing the Muslim clothing in link number four. And if you want all the links, like I'm saying, if you just go to, right there where it says notes are located at, if you look at the links, you see where it says yellow, it says notes are located at, you got to write that into your browser and you'll literally have all those links, everything that you need, or in your cell phone, wherever you use them. And so, as Bible students, we do realize that homosexual marriage was the last straw in Noah's day, correct? I mean, we've all done our research on this. Especially if you look in Luke 17, I'll get to that in a second here, but when they made it global back in Noah's day, the Lord told Noah to start building that ark, and Jesus said this in Luke 17, verses 26 to 30. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. That's normal marriage. They were given in marriage. That's homosexual marriage. Two different marriages are being mentioned here. No getting around that. And until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot. And he's repeating it this way to verify the fact that he did mean homosexual marriage, because we all know what Sodom and Gomorrah is about, right? And so he says, likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Like when they put forth the death decree and rerun into the wilderness to be protected. Yeah, the plague start. Well, Lot took off and everything got bad. They didn't get seven plagues, though. It looks like they only got number seven. Although it's not going to be, the brimstone stuff. It could be. I don't know. It's the Bible does say hail, and there's going to be fire involved and the shaking of the plant and all that stuff. But, it's not the sulfur stuff, that falls from the sky. I don't see anything in prophecy about that in regards to the great and dreadful day. And then verse 30 says, Jesus said, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In other words, what they did, when they did what they did, rather, in Noah's day, it brought the wrath of God on them. This is the exact same thing they have done in our day. This is why it's getting progressively worse, especially in the USA, because this is where it all started, with the homosexual stuff. You push it in America, everybody else follows our lead, because we're the popular nation, the superpower, right? It's just like in America itself. All the sinfulness on the West Coast eventually makes it all the way to the East Coast, because it's just cool to act like the people on the West Coast, so they think. I remember that when I was a teenager, somebody came up with these new sayings. I said, where are you getting this stuff? And it actually worked its way across the nation to the point where us in the Midwest started hearing it. Some of the weird comments or some of the statements that some of the rock singers would make in their songs. I said, well, that didn't make any sense. And then 10 years later, they go, oh, that's what he was talking about. Because now everybody knows what that word means. Back then, nobody said, boy, that just didn't make sense. You messed up your grammar or something. But no, he actually said it the way he said it. I'm not going to mention what the song was. And so this is why we see the final signs of the end rapidly fulfilling all around us. Everything from the birds, the insects, the animals, and the fish are dying in biblical numbers. This is link number 19. And I literally stopped updating that page on my website because I was overwhelmed. I don't have time to keep putting links on that page of all the animals, the birds, the insects, and the fish that are dying in biblical numbers all over the world, especially in the USA. If you ever went to that, I stopped it years ago, and I just let some other people do it on their sites, and I linked out to them. Because if you notice, I found hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of all these events that were happening in all these countries, but when I got to the USA, each state was a country in itself the way these things were going down. I mean, it was bad in all those countries, really crazy bad. Animals dropping in the tens of thousands sometimes. But in the USA, that was happening in every state. Why doesn't anybody know about this? Well, unless it stinks really bad, like with the fish, the local news keeps it hush-hush. And so that's what took so long to research all that out. And I says, I've had enough of this. It's just happening too much. And then, not to mention all the earthquakes, the thousands and thousands of earthquakes that we see each week now. We have more earthquakes per week than this planet saw before the end times started for 6,000 years. That's link number 20, by the way. So notice the prophetic reality of this statement found in Romans chapter 1. It's in verses 22 to 25 right there in the notes. It says, professing themselves wise, or to be wise, they became fools and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, like the statues, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. The Vatican has all these strange little... They even had pine cones that they worship, but that's paganism. They got the biggest pine cone on the planet somewhere in the square, Vatican Square. And then verse 24 says, wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. This is why 98% of the Vatican is homosexual. Verse 25 says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature, the preacher, more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen? Amen. So that's homosexuality that's being talked about here. They are without excuse. When they denied God and turned their backs to His truth and the fact that man was created in His image, He allowed what they desired to come upon them. Since they worshiped the flesh over and above the God that made the flesh, He allowed them to have what they desired in Noah's day, and now it's happening in our day. Homosexuality is flourishing in every nation, even though they're the smallest minorities. Why do they have so much political power? I mean, come on. 98% of the Vatican, they're all prelates. They're all political. They have power. And most of the politicians in every nation are homosexual. And most if, well, I wouldn't think all of them, but many of them are atheist. And downright devil worships, worshipers. If you ever saw aerial pictures of Washington, D.C., you know what I was talking about. You know, before the buildings were even put up, these roads were shaped in the symbols of Satan. And so, yes, this is also why the plagues are going to fall as they do. For example, the people that are bloodthirsty, well, so God gives them blood to drink, right? Plague number one and two. And so and the people that worship the sun god on Sunday, and so the plague of heat that scorches mankind is given unto them. And Isaiah says it scorches seven times hotter. But then that's a whole nother sermon. Getting back to how they loved the lies of Satan above the truth of God, the Lord allowed homosexuality as well as promiscuousness, you know, between the secular group and all people to become the norm so as to cause them to defile themselves left and right. I mean, seriously, today, they actually use sex to sell candy bars and cars. And so what am I getting at? Well, since they love the lies in this age of lying, they deserve the strong delusion that shall fall upon them all. The planned demic is a well-hidden prophesied fact. Not only does it fulfill the prophecy of Luke 21:26, where Jesus, our King, said men's hearts are going to be failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. The basic reality is, they think it's scary now. Wait a few years when the Pope's climate change laws become a reality. Seriously, those that don't study the Bible and call themselves Christians are going to be living in abject terror. That is why the prophet Amos said what he said in Amos 8 verse 12. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from the north even to the west. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord, and they shall not find it. That mindset has to be in play before the plagues fall, so that prophecy can be fulfilled. And so that's why you're seeing the way they act today. Somebody, I can't remember who this was, a sister in a faith was trying to share something, hand somebody a card in a store, and the person looked at it and saw it was religious, and they said, "Oh, you're all brainwashed." They actually think those of us that study Bibles are the ones that are brainwashed when we have the absolute truth. I mean, the prophecies that are fulfilling all around us confirm that the Bible is 100% accurate. Nothing, no other book on the planet can do that, because it's the only book that was written by a God. I mean, they finally realize when the plagues start, they're going to finally realize by this time what we have been warning people about is true. I've been doing this almost 40 years, and still, there are some people that I've been talking to, like, you know, my siblings and stuff. They think I'm nuts, even though all this stuff's happening exactly as we said it would happen. Not just me, you know, it's just a matter of reading the Bible. The prophecies have all been fulfilled, and the plagues are now falling at this time, because they finally realize that the prophecies were right and the Christians were correct, and now that the plagues are falling, but it's too late for them, and they don't realize it, though, because they never studied the Bible. They don't know it's too late. They don't know they're guaranteed damnation now, because they believe in a secret rapture. That got them ready for something that was never going to happen. That's why I always said, even on my secret rapture page, which became a book later, I said, this is the last trick played on mankind. They think that... Because I knew a lot of people on the street that thought this. Look, as soon as you nutty Christians leave, then I'll get my act straight. I got 7 years to get right, because I got that 7-year time of tribulation to get right. Look, you're blowing a 4.0 in the morning, drinking night train till you pass out every day. What makes you think more tribulation upon you is going to make you turn to Christ? You can't do it now, and you're killing yourself with your own hand. But they don't get it. They don't read the Bibles. And so Revelation 22:11 is for them. He that is unjust is going to let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. In other words, they can't be saved anymore. We're done preaching. But check out the last part of verse 11. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. In other words, we can't lose our salvation after that. I mean, the Baptists preach once saved, always saved now, before the plagues, which is total heresy. I've got dozens of verses to prove that they're lying. But their people don't know that because they won't study their Bibles. They only study their preachers. See, that's what's happening all over this world. The preachers are in sin, right in front of the people sometimes, and they don't even realize it because they trust the preacher because he's so loving and so gentle. He doesn't have the guts to stand firm and pound the pulpit and tell them you got to get your act straight before Christ gets here. I mean, even John the Baptist called them hypocrites, or brood of vipers. Jesus called them hypocrites. So, whoever is lost is going to stay lost. And whoever is saved is going to remain saved for the last year of life on earth before the Lord recreates it 1,000 years later. It's going to be all torn up for 1,000 years. They can no longer be saved from damnation after the plagues begin, but they don't know that. And so they're going, from, like Amos says, they're going from the east to the west. They're going all over the place to try to find scripture that'll vindicate them and say, oh, now you can make it home. And these are going to be Christians doing this, by the way. Atheists aren't going to be looking at no Bibles. They don't believe the Bible. The majority of these, some of them might, because they may have been riding a fence, but the overwhelming majority of the people that are going to be looking in those Bibles are Christians, because they're the only ones that thought it was legit. And they're trying to find a verse that says after the plagues begin that they're okay, they can repent. But they believed for too long that after the plagues begin, they thought they were supposed to be secretly raptured off to heaven. And now they're in the thick of it, and it's too late. And so, not only are they going to be fearful, have you noticed that those that don't study Bibles actually believe all the media is saying about what we know to be a plandemic? It's not even a pandemic. It's nowhere near the numbers. Even if the fudged numbers of America, just over 100,000 dead, even if that was correct, to have a real pandemic or have a real epidemic in the United States of America with just over 300 million people, you'd have to have nearly 30 million dying or dead. 30 million. But no one knows that. Why? Well, you know, my homeschool Spurs page, why I was telling people to homeschool your kids. Let the teachers teach them. They have no clue that how to define a pandemic or an epidemic. They don't even know what the Constitution's about. That's all planned. They're all dumbed down for a reason. You know, the prophecy of 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 to 12, is fulfilling right before our eyes. It says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And so, just so you know, to make sure the changes they made and the brains that have been washed don't get back on track to reality, the methods of educating the children must be done in a universal manner all around the world, because the mark of the beast, which happens to be link number 5 in the notes below, the mark of the beast is something that's going to be enforced globally. And so this is why the Pope said what he said in the 2015 encyclical, ecological education, this is the Pope talking, he says, ecological education, in other words, study the world, can take place in a variety of settings at school and families and the media, of course the media because he controls it, in catechists, that's the Roman catechism, and elsewhere. Good education plants seeds when we are young, and these continue to bear fruit throughout life. Okay. The Bible says in Proverbs, well, that's by the way, that's quote number 1. Let me show you the quotes. There's a quote section too. What I just read. There's a link and all that for where you want to get the quotes, if you want. So the Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, where it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, that when he is old, he will not depart from it." And of course, this is done for the good of the child. That is taught truth. The Pope, on the other hand, is using the exact same biblical method, just like Satan does, to teach. Only he uses lies so as to assure all will agree with his soon-to-be-announced plans to stop what he calls global warming and climate change. Allowing the children to be taught real truth now is going to mess things up. You know, when they come of age and start warning their parents. And so, as the parents have been dumbed down, and especially those that evade real wisdom by refusing to study the Bible, their children today will be kept in the dark as well. But then that's their just desserts. And it's really sad when you think about this, that some children that are homeschooled put their own kids in public schools later when they grow up. Because they want them to have a life. They want them to have friends. They want them to have sporting events or whatever. They don't realize they're training their children to go straight to hell. They're letting others that don't love their own children to teach them. And it's their own fault when it all goes down, because think about it. Especially in America, it's legal to homeschool your children. In some states, you don't have to prove anything that you're teaching your kids. You just take them out. We did it in Illinois and Indiana when we moved to Indiana. And so to further confirm this is his main reason for commanding the leaders to move ahead on this scheduled, you know, October 15th meeting of this year for the Pope. Notice what the Pope said in his encyclical of 2015 again. He said, "On Sunday, our participation in the Eucharist," which is a demon god, it's an idol. A lot of people lost their lives during the Inquisition that refused to declare the Eucharist God on earth. But our participation in the Eucharist has special importance. Sunday, now listen to what he says here. Sunday, like the Jewish Sabbath, that's a made-up term. It's nowhere in the Bible. And it's not a Jewish Sabbath, and I'll prove it in a minute. So Sunday, like the Jewish Sabbath, is meant to be a day which heals our relationships with God, with ourselves, with others, and with the world. Sunday is the day of the resurrection, the first day of the new creation. Again, nowhere to be found in Scripture. Whose first fruits are the Lord's risen humanity. Risen humanity, okay? Taking Godship completely out of the picture there. The pledge of the final transfiguration of all created reality. Oh, by the way, I'm reading the second quote there. I just scrolled up so you can see it. All right, and then it goes on to say that it also proclaims man's eternal rest in God. And notice, I don't know if I see the number 168 there. That's a footnote. I'm going to get to that in a second. But the Vatican is infamous for doing this. They'll put footnotes and act like, check out this, and you'll find the Bible verses that back everything I just said, right? Okay, but I'll get back to that in a minute. He goes on to say that in this way, Christian spirituality incorporates the value of relaxation and festivity, and so the day of rest, centered on the Eucharist, sheds its light on the whole week and motivates us to the greater concern for nature and the poor. First and foremost, notice the man of sin, which is outlined and exposed in link number 6. He shared not a single Bible verse to back anything he just said when it comes to his man-made Sabbath. And when they footnoted his remark about Sunday being man's eternal rest in God, if you click that link, like if you pull the page out and put it in your browser and you click that link, he's not quoting from Scripture, as some may assume. He is quoting from the Catechism of the Roman Catholic Church. That's, by the way, in link number 7, the whole book. I used to teach from that. So that being said, are we not told to obey God rather than man in Acts 5:29? And was it not Peter the Apostle that was moved by the Holy Spirit to educate the Pharisees as to our Christian duty in such things 2,000 years ago? That's in link number 8, by the way, our duty. And since the prophet Daniel declares the man of sin in Rome will seek to change God's law so as to create a false worship around the world, that's link number 9, is it not obvious now as to why the Pope declares himself to be with the successor or to be the successor to the Apostle Peter, while at the same time declare themselves to be another God on earth, many times in official Vatican documents, and that's link number 10, where there's a whole list of those statements where they say they're gods on earth. As we see in the Seventh-day Remnant Church, we have stated for years, the prophesied apostate version of the Apostle Peter is about to use, the Pope, is about to use his scientifically proven fabricated fallacy on climate change as a way to enforce his anti-Christian system of worship worldwide so as to assure the damnation of billions. He is purposely doing this for Satan. And no, I'm not saying that metaphorically, allegorically, or even figuratively. All popes are actually devil worshippers. All the prelates of Rome are. Check out my Satanism in Vatican videos when you get time. That's link number 11. They're doing this out in the open because it's that far to the end. The ball is rolling downhill. You can't stop it now. Even if you had a bunch of TV cameras out there pointing out that the audience hall, the Vatican, that's shaped like a serpent on the outside and on the inside, and when it's on the inside, the Pope, when he speaks when it looks like he's standing on a tongue with two fangs, one on each side of him. He speaks literally from the mouth of a serpent because he worships that serpent and he wants to glorify him. That's what that's all about. But everybody thought he was a man of God because of the strong delusion. The Pope will soon claim, under direction of the fake Jesus that stands on earth at this time, that keeping Sunday holy is going to stop global warming. That's in link number 12, by the way. He will even remind everyone that when they locked everyone down during the pandemic, all the smog in the cities wafted away. Remember those videos showing out, look at San Francisco, there's no smog, look at this city, there's no smog. Because they locked them down for months, or a few weeks anyway. He will say keeping Sunday holy will lower the smog and stop the calamities. As the obedient people in the true remnant church, we have declared he will do this for many decades, regardless of the scoffers and what they say. Soon, we will most assuredly see a demand for Sunday laws in America, and then all the world will bow to the great apostate not long afterwards. And if you saw the video I did last week about them testing ways to restrict buying and selling in California, because it always starts on the West Coast and works its way across, right? Because whatever's popular in California, yeah, the rest of us want to do it, right? That's link number 13 for that video. We all know now we are a lot closer than most care to admit. The fact Trump has been gathering with apostate Protestants and Roman Catholics on a regular basis for prayer meetings confirms they are soon to declare America is governed by an official Christian or official church and state form of government. And they're going to do this so as to allow the 501c3 preachers of filthy lucre to have their officially approved duty of lobbying for religious laws put to the test. They can do it now. They could do it ever since December 2nd, 2017, when Trump made the 501c3 permanent law. Every, you know, like Doug Batchelor and every single Seventh-day Adventist pastor or leader or whatever in the SDA church, they all have 501c3s. They can now literally lobby for religious laws. By law, they can do it now. They can even speak political statements from the pulpit. They can do it now without any slap on the wrist. And the IRS can't even touch them now because now it's law. They were afraid to do it when Bush put it forth in 2006. Because the IRS still had their meat and their muscles. But now the IRS can't touch them because of the law. So we have precious little time left to get busy because the only way to get the mark enforced, which we know is a religious law, the nation must at least claim to be a religious nation. Still, even with all that, that I just shared, and even over 15,000 more pages of facts on my site, regarding all this and more, many people still refuse to study the Bible, and naturally many wonder why the beast in Rome is so adamant about Sunday laws. And so I say to them, please study your Bibles, and you see that he does this because, as prophesied, Sunday laws are what the popes of Rome have boasted in writing to be their mark all along. That's in Luke, link number 15. In fact, in my Mark of the Beast video, which is link number 1 or 2, I can't remember, in my Mark of the Beast video, I show how the Pope uses the term mark when speaking of his false Sabbath in the exact same way our Heavenly Father uses the term seal when speaking of the true Sabbath that the angels kept in heaven long before mankind was ever even created, which proves the Pope just lied when he called the seventh-day Sabbath a Jewish Sabbath in his Laudato Si document, where he invited all those guys, you know, all the political leaders, on May 14th, which is now scheduled for October 15th. Not only were there no Jews when the angels kept the law of God, there wasn't even any humans yet, or any race for that matter. The fact Satan was in the tree in the Garden of Eden on day one proves he fell before Adam and Eve were created. And for those of you that may not be aware of this biblical fact, notice what it says in Psalm 103, verse 20. It says, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Now do you see why Satan was cast out of heaven? The law of God was written in eternity as the laws of the land of New Jerusalem, or heaven, as most people call it. Had it not been written in advance, already in heaven, before even an angel was created, and obviously before mankind was created, Satan would not have been guilty of sin, for it was plainly written in 1 John 3:4, whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. That's New Testament theology after the cross of Christ, but yet they all say it was abolished at the cross. They're wolves. That's all they are. Sin can only be considered sin when one of the Ten Commandments are broken. That is why it also says in Romans 4:15, for where no law is, there is no transgression. In other words, there's no commandment that says what you just said or what you just did or what you just thought was a sin, let's say. Let's just say you thought, oh, that flower's pretty. That's not a sin to do that. It's not a sin to say a flower's pretty. So there's no law there. Where no law is, there is no transgression. So there is no commandment that says you can't say a flower's pretty, so you didn't transgress the law of God. That's what he means here in Romans 4:15. And so getting back, why, and I'm almost done, why does he demand all keep Sunday holy instead of the true eternal Sabbath of the Christian God? It's because Satan, who controls the popes and the prelates of Rome, he controls them in a way that he knows he does because they openly worship him now with massive buildings built to look like a serpent in inside and out. They openly do that now because we are so close to the end, they don't even hide it. And since most Catholics have been indoctrinated to ignore it and even accept it, I mean, for the fact that they're staying in a church with their own children and getting molested and murdered speaks volumes onto their own blindness. The dying God of this world knows all those that bow to the Pope's command must first deny the command of the very God who created and then sanctified the true Sabbath that he, the son of perdition, claims to be the Jewish Sabbath. When, as the Bible clearly teaches, that same seventh-day Sabbath was created, declared, and commanded first in heaven by the God of creation long before a Jew was ever even born. I mean, that term Jewish Sabbath came around in about 321 A.D. when the first Sunday laws were put forth. Now, think about that, too. As a matter of fact, let me go somewhere really quick on my site, because a brother in the faith sent me something. It was one, he calls it a deer in the headlights moment, and you got to check this out. So I'm going to go to the website here. I'm going to, I think I got the browser's down here. Okay, bring it up. All right, where is it? Where did I put it? Deer in the headlights moment. Oh, man. Let me think about this for a minute, because I just put this on the site. It's on 321. Thank you, Lord. All right, so let me go down to Prophecy of Today. Or wait, maybe it's not in there. Soon fulfilled, no. Prophetic Facts, there it is. Okay, boom, 321 AD. Scroll down to the bottom, right there, deer in the headlights response. Check this out. His name is Michael, and his comments were like a deer in the headlights, right? And so I asked him for permission to put it up here, and I did. And he said, yeah, so I did. And check it out. This is what he said. He goes, I know you're busy, but I had to share with you the deer in the headlights response I received from a guest at one of my weekly, I guess the word of should have been there, one of my weekly Bible studies who supported Sunday church services. He was a Sunday keeper. Citing the same old excuses for the book of Acts. We all know what they are, right? I showed him from history excerpts in Catholic sources how Constantine decreed the change in 321 AD. So I asked my visitor, why would Constantine even deem such a decree as this was needed if the Christians of the time already kept Sunday as the Sabbath? It's that simple. It's historic record now. Think about that. 321 AD is in historic record. Constantine did make the first Sunday law at that time. It's locked down. Well, if the Sabbath was truly changed when Jesus resurrected 300 years prior, why is he doing this decree? They would have gone, what are you doing? Come on, we know it's Sunday. No, they were keeping Sabbath. And he goes on to say, the look on my very voracious or vociferous friend, I think, I don't know, an ardent Sunday supporter affirmed to me and to him that the logic for such a decree was just not there, unless Christians of the day were already keeping Saturday Sabbath. And this is why over three centuries after the death of Jesus, and then he finishes by saying, score another one for the Lord. And so amen to that. So let me go back to the notes. I thought that was exciting when he sent that to me, so I says, let me put it on the site. And so, all the angels, all of them, not only bowed in obedience to the law of God, as we just saw in Psalm 103, verse 20, and it confirmed it, they also bow in loving worship to the very God that sits on the throne of heaven, wherein they also know that under the mercy seat of his throne actually lies the Ten Commandments written by God's own finger, proving the dying God of this world can't possibly change even one jot or tittle of that law. It's in the seat. It's under his, the mercy seat. It's, you know, it's the seat of the ark. I mean, because the only way to change it would be to have to kill God. You know, you'd have to remove the ever-living God of the universe off his throne, open the lid, change the commandments, and throw him back in there, and then let Satan stand on, or sit on that throne. And that, brothers and sisters, simply is never going to happen from now on to eternity. That's why Satan has to use lies to get people to believe him, because he can't back anything with facts. And so, soon, as prophetic timing laid out in Scripture, the God of Rome, the dying God of Rome, is going to die along with all the prelates of Rome and all those that bow and worship to the beast in Rome by disobeying the Creator, by bowing to the Pope, who is nothing more than a dying creature himself. To obey the Pope above the Creator means they worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, as we just read in Romans 1:25. Obedience means worship. Worship means obedience. No getting around that. But the elect, the remnant people of God, no, we're never going to bow, brothers and sisters, as prophesied and as already been seen by our God from the beginning of time. We, the obedient bride of Christ, will obey and worship our Father rather than any man alive, or even dead for that matter. And some of us will even seal our obedience with our deaths, hence the reason for the purple robe, or the purple fringe on the robe. Obedient unto death. Blue is obedience in prophecy, and red is death in prophecy. Put them together, you get purple. That's why they mocked Jesus right before they crucified him with that purple robe. And so next Sabbath, in part two of this sermon, if the Lord allows, I'm going to share how all Christians, and this includes the Seventh-day Adventist people, all Christians who refuse to stand with the Lord and his remnant people, and it's not just us. We're not the only remnant. We call ourselves Seventh-day Remnant, but there's a lot of people that believe just like we do. They just don't have a name. We picked a name and declared the name to prevent the SDA Church from suing us with Catholic and Jewish lawyers, because they're doing that to a lot of people. Throwing them behind bars to a guy in Texas. If the ones that claim to be Christians refuse to stand with the Lord and his obedient people, then they're blind. to actually what's happening right before their eyes. Because not only does the Pope declare the end is not yet nigh so as to calm his flock and keep them in the pews, the Seventh-day Adventist president stated on camera not too long ago that Sunday laws are not in the pipeline as we speak. I share the Pope's quote, as well as Ted Wilson's quote, on camera, declaring his version of peace and safety when he said what he said on November 22nd, 2017. That is link number 17. Right there. Link number. It's videos. Okay, so these bold and these grievous wolves in sheep's clothing are doing all they can in these last days to prevent the people who have a heart for the Lord, as did King David of old, from discovering the truth about what's happening all around them. This is why all the churches now use the Vatican Bibles that have thousands of verses missing, and the SDA Church has not only embraced those bogus Bibles, they have been caught red-handed changing all the Spirit of Prophecy books. Look in link 17. I think I got 13 videos on that. And they do that so as to hide the truth about their long prophesied apostate position as a daughter to the whore of Babylon and Rome. And yes, they also removed all the statements in the Spirit of Prophecy wherein Ellen White literally said the Seventh-day Adventist Church will become a sister to fallen Babylon. And you can see the growing list in link number 18. And I forget where the links were. Well, yeah, link number 19 is the strange deaths, and the 20 is the earthquake totals. I messed up and put them in the wrong spot because I added those after I already did the sermon notes and all that. And so I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared the Sabbath day. Please stick around. Got something that, if you're a Christian, it's going to bless your heart. Stick around, please.